Keep that wing out, yo.
Everybody,
I watched Don Henley for 3 hours. How could I not have my wing?
Your wing was already
take it easy.
Was already out.
Gentlemen, ladies, I have an announcement to make that will change the face of this town forever. Something of a coup. And that's with a P, Stanley, if I say so myself.
I don't think you were the milkman. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack episode 279. We are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me tonight, Brian Gopher Byrne Dunaway.
Gopher Byrne. All right. Hey, guys. When we decided to do an Alan Rickman tribute episode here on Film Sack, I was a little worried we might pick Blow Dry. And we did. You know, the movie from the writer who brought us The Full Monty. So, yeah, I watched most of this movie, turned away from the TV with my handheld back of head hair mirror, all I Clash the Titans like during the Medusa scene. Because, you know, just in case Alan Rickman went, well, start air quotes, full Monty and air quotes. I'm happy to report my eyes are still virgins and I miss Alan Rickman terribly.
Yeah.
Also, I updated my Who to Visit in Heaven list to include sitting in a tub on a hill with Alan Rickman. We'll see you there, buddy.
Some people have a bucket list. You've got a bathtub list.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That looked like a
I'm
bucket.
I'm sitting in my tub.
Yeah. It's like a dirty bucket, though. So we'll give you that. Also with us, Randy, how come the Earl of Grantham looks like Guy Fieri Jordan?
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Did I ever tell you guys about the time I worked for an oncology clinic that specialized in helping people who are surrounded by loved ones, but they don't want those loved ones to know they have cancer?
Mm, no.
Okay, so this is a true story. Mm. We didn't have any actual patients. We mostly consulted for, like, screenwriters. Okay, see, I just want to stop here, folks. I tried to make cancer funny, and I failed. Cancer is never funny.
No, it's not.
Stop trying to make me laugh at cancer, Bill Nighy.
Yeah, they tried. They tried and failed. Also with us, Brian Vagina Heart Ibbitt.
That's my favorite Mickey Rourke movie.
So good.
So I'm coming completely clean on the level here. I wrote this intro at 4:08 a.m. I woke up from a dream, and I honestly am going to read you exactly
I can't wait for this. All right. Go ahead.
This movie reminds me of my great uncle Reggie, who lived in Derbyshire. I know you'll find this hard to believe, but he was balding. Still had some hair, but he was balding. Every month, he'd go to the local stylist and he'd come back with this beautiful bouffant hairdo, and we asked him about it, and he always changed the subject. Well, one day he and I are sitting at the local pudding shop having tea, and I ask him, Reg, I say, every month you go to the salon and you come back with this big bouffant hairdo. Where does all the extra hair come from? And he leans in really close to me and he says, legend has it, my hairdresser keeps a supply of it from this old Australian tattoo lesbian.
Dude, you got to write more 4 a.m. dreams down. That's amazing.
That was awesome.
That's incredible.
Did you didn't clean it up at all? Like, that was...
That's amazing. Okay. Yeah.
If I write something in the middle of the night, it comes out so grammatically incorrect.
I typed it into OneNote. I had to fix the word find because I had typed film, and I misspelled bouffant all the way through this thing.
Oh, of course you did.
Of course.
Yeah, you can't.
You can spell bouffant at 4 in the morning.
I can't do it. I can't do it at 9:20 a.m., let alone that time of day. Well, all right. There you go. Everybody's done a fine job already. It's for Blow Dry is the movie we're doing. This is a movie I'd never even freaking heard about. When we talked about doing Alan Rickman, it's easy to go to the standards. It's, you know, one thing to say, well, yeah, of course, Die Hard, but we've done that. We could do Robin Hood, but it's not streaming. So we thought, well, why not some obscure thing that no one's heard of? And we did. And you know what? I am pleasantly surprised how much I enjoyed this movie. I really had a ball with it. It is way less of an Alan Rickman movie than it is like a Natasha Richardson movie or not Richardson. What's her name?
Yeah, Natasha Richardson.
Is that her name? Okay. Yeah. I always get her confused.
Yeah, you got it.
I get or Josh Hartnett or...
Yeah, or
Rachel Lee Cook.
Yeah, or
Rachel Lee Cook, man, she was the hotness during this time.
She was. She hasn't done much since, though. Kind of things aren't working out on her career deal. Well, maybe they're fine. I don't know. I don't know her, but it doesn't seem like she didn't break into the huge stardom I think people expected from her.
Right.
Exactly. But anyway, this is this weird movie, and it was directed by Patty Breathnach. I just want to put that name out there and let it sit.
That is a great name.
Breathnach.
Breathnach. It's an amazing name. Written by Simon Beaufoy, which I think...
Did we just get an explicit tag for saying that, by the way?
We might have. Breathnach is... how's your Breathnach doing? Oh, I don't know. I got to go talk to the doctor about it.
Ooh, did you see Bill this morning? He's totally got Breathnach.
Rachel Griffith's also in this, who I always like. I find her weirdly a lot like what's her name? Oh, I can't think of her name now.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
No, although that's a good one. That's not bad. But the one I'm thinking of is she played the sister in Christmas Vacation. She was in Natural Born Killers.
Yes,
Julia Louise Dreyfus. Yes.
No, not Julia Louis Dreyfus.
Juliette Lewis. That's the one.
There you go.
She reminds me of her for whatever reason.
Really?
Yeah. I can't figure that out either.
I can see it too. I had that same at first. There's a couple of scenes where I do the same thing. She's kind of got that similar face, but she's not nearly as light in frame as Juliet.
Yeah, and Juliette Lewis is very listen, right? But she I like this portrayal. I think she was really funny. So I'm a big fat sucker for this British business. Like, I like it. It's you know, good, let's have some examples here. The Four Weddings and the Funeral. You got the Notting Hill.
Death at a Funeral.
Death at a Funeral. That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
What's the Christmas one,
These
Brian?
Are all funeral things.
Love Actually.
What a great movie. And half that cast is in this.
Exactly. I think they filmed it pretty close to the same time, so I wonder if they just, we're all together.
Yeah, we're
right
here
now. Why don't we film this one?
Listen, we're between Harry Potter movies. We may as well do this one.
Let's bring over two young Americans and make one of them fake a Yorkshire accent for no reason. And then for equally no reason, try to hand wave away why the other one has an American accent.
Well, she's from Minneapolis, but I don't know what her, Rachel Lee Cook has a strange affectation to her voice that I can't put my finger on. And I don't think it's definitely not Minnesota, don't you know? It's something else.
Yeah. Well, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, it was. It some weird
and I'm
little
with you.
Thing.
It's just, well, it was tough playing against Josh Hartnett's English accent. So I mean,
why not get an English actor? I don't understand.
No, this is always the question, though, isn't it? Like, why do we ever let American dudes do? And okay, hold on. Let's get to the philosophical about this before we let Fletcher have his say, because I think this is an important issue. Why do we let or want Kevin Costner to be a British guy? Why do we want Josh Hartnett to be a British kid? Why do we want any of these American actors to come into that space that could easily been filled by a British actor? But we're pretty much okay with the other direction. We're okay with Australian, British, and other accented English speaking actors to come over and do American roles. Why is that a disconnect?
I mean, if you're going to release a movie and you're wanting to make money off of it, it used to be that you'd want to sell it to the stupid Americans because, man, we consume like nobody's business. Now China's got the biggest market, but I think that has a lot to do with it. It's like when you go to secure money for a movie, those guys aren't going to give you money if you can give them an actor you can bank on.
But
Josh Hartnett this time was bankable.
Was he though? Because 2001, I don't think too many people knew Josh Hartnett very well. I know he was just about to do Black Hawk Down, and that would do things for him. But I don't think he was all that big a deal then. Like, what was before this? His Halloween reboot, where he was.
Yeah, was that before this?
I don't know. I think so. I could be wrong on that. I'm not actually sure about that. But I don't think anyone knew who Josh Hartnett was. So in a weird way, I mean, I looked up a bunch of stuff trying to find out what his star power was at the time, and I think they just hired an American guy to do it without really...
Did it for free.
Yeah. Like, he was just a dude.
What's the year on this? This is 2001.
Released in 01, filmed in 2000. So so I always look at it from when it was filmed, more importantly.
Right.
Because
Yeah. Yes. The only thing he really done was The Faculty before this, which... Did we watch that on here?
We did.
And then H2O.
Yeah, remember John Stewart?
Pearl Harbor was the first thing I remember seeing
That was like the same year or year after?
Josh Hartnett. It was released the same year, but who knows filming-wise how it related.
So I really honestly think, and you know, maybe this director saw something in Hartnett. I actually, I want to go on the record now to say I actually like Josh Hartnett. I think he's fine. Mm-hmm.
I like him in that. What is that new series is on, Penny is on Dreadful. Showtime? Penny Dreadful.
He's so good in that. And
yeah, it's really good.
It's so well done. Yeah.
I meant to see. I still haven't seen that. Is that good? That's a good
you
show.
Can, you
it's
can,
really it, good.
I subscribed to the 30 days worth of Showtime just so I could. That was the only thing I really wanted to see.
You just binge-watched the whole thing.
Yeah. And I was like, thanks, Showtime. See you, suckers.
Thanks for the free month, but right, you can't do that again now, right? You're done. You have to sign up next time.
Yeah. No, because you'd have to do like put a different email address in. I mean, it like be impossible to gain the system.
Yeah, good point. But, I don't know, Randy. Where do you sit on Josh Hartnett? That sounded bad. Where do you? What do you? What is your feeling?
Squarely on the face.
Did I ever tell you about the time I sat on Josh Hartnett?
Did we lose Randy? We did.
Oh, we lost Randy.
Oh, that's great.
That was a fun little romp. I was wondering why I wasn't saying anything. We're just talking about Josh Hartnett.
Yeah, so Randy, where are you on Josh Hartnett? Actually, the question I asked before you got cut off, and I'm sad you didn't hear it, was where do you sit on Josh Hartnett? And I took it back. I no longer mean where do you sit on Josh Hartnett.
I would prefer to sit on his ample knee.
Oh,
but
yes.
Does he really?
Black knee down. Yeah. Anyway. So
yeah, that's right.
What do you, what do you,
disgusting. I don't know where we're going with that.
I like him. I think he's interesting to look at. I don't mean that from like I'm attracted to the guy or anything, but he's an interesting face.
It's okay
he's
to
a good
be
actor.
Attracted to Josh Hartnett.
I'm not attracted to him, but I think
it's okay.
He's an interesting, he has a very interesting face and acts well.
Being attracted to him is different than finding him attractive. I think he's a handsome guy. And I think he's, you know, out of all those actors that came out of the early 2000s, all those, you know, good looking actors, many of whom were probably in Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
He seems to have a lot of depth to the roles that he does. I mean, and I'm basing it on what I saw in Pearl Harbor. I'm basing it on seeing him in Penny Dreadful. I don't think I saw 30 Days and 30 Nights.
That was a cool movie.
So when I first saw him, I thought of two films. I thought of Sin City.
Yeah.
And I thought of Pearl Harbor when I saw him.
He's the bookend in Sin City, right? Like you see him at the very beginning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't judge anybody's quality as an actor by looking at Sin City. It's intended to skew their efforts. Mm-hmm. But thinking about Pearl Harbor, I thought, you know, he did a really good job, and he's not a bad anything. Like he picks the right roles for himself, etc. What is he doing in Blow Dry?
He's just a young actor nobody knew, and they hired him up. I don't know why, though. Like, I'm telling you, there was a billion British guys I could have hired. So,
free vacation of the UK? Sure.
Did any of you guys ever watch Misfits? I know it's 10 years later than that.
Oh, yeah. The British show, Misfits, yes. I had the mean guy with the cut off the other guy's wiener in Game of Thrones.
Right, yeah. Yes.
But, right. I was going to say, if you watched Misfits 5 years ago, then... Since then, you've seen almost every single one of those actors in other things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just, you know, they have a walk-on role in Modern Family or whatever. But you see them and go, oh, I've seen that. It's a young British actor I've seen in something. And it turns out to be Misfits. I don't understand how in 2001 you're making Blow Dry. There isn't a Misfits behind you where you can just go, send me young Northern English actor number 7. And Josh Hartnett doesn't get this.
I don't know. It was hard times during the 2000s.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet he was. I'll bet he just like straight up did the thing.
You know
where
what
you
I
go
think?
To, you
know
go to
I
casting.
Think?
And
I think
cast
he
him.
Had. I think he went in. They looked at his hair and said, "That is awesome," and we're doing a movie about hair. And here you come.
And you got, awesome. You got a perfect bowl cut. How about you play the son of a stylist?
Never trust a stylist with a bull haircut.
Have you ever noticed that Josh Hartnett has that like he always, I don't know if he does it or if it's like something that happened to his hair, but he maybe has a cowlick and he just keeps it short. You know what I mean? Because he always has like that one little twig. And as a matter of fact, near the end of this movie, spoiler, Jason, Miss Cook, she cuts her hair and she looks just like Josh Hartnett.
Oh, you know, you're right. There's two Josh Hartnetts. One is a lovely Josh Hartnett, and the other is just Josh Hartnett at that point of the movie.
Right.
All right, let's get into it.
All right.
I am the opposite of an expert on hairstyles. I know less than nothing about hairstyles.
I'm.
Am I the only fully qualified person here? Because my mommy cut hair for like 20 years.
Did she do the full look? Did she do that?
Yeah, she did all that stuff.
That's a Flo-bee?
We had to do this. No, she had her own beauty shop for a while. She's worked in other salon chairs. She's done all this stuff. So this kind of felt, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, this is one of those superstar anything kind of movies where, you know, it's like, let's take it to the nth degree. So most of that's unrealistic, but some of it's kind of true.
Okay, but you got to admit, this is one of the best examples you've ever seen of a movie where you probably should never watch it with someone who actually knows the subject.
Right.
Because they're going to hate everything about the hair,
It's like an ER doctor watching ER. Right. It just doesn't work.
Right. And for me, it was when I just brought up the movie Best in Show while talking to a dog breeder. Mm-hmm. And this movie, Blow Dry, has a lot in common with Best in Show.
I agree. Sure. I mean, outside of it not being a fake documentary, it definitely has that structure. And there are a lot of movies like this. Miss Congeniality did this. Other movies where there's a subplot, in this case about this family that's a little disjointed, blah, 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 everybody trying to figure out their stuff. But it's all structured within this competition motif.
Competition movie. That's what this is.
Yeah, you basically take Karate Kid's last 20 minutes and apply that structure to this movie, but you spread it out for the whole hour and a half. And that's basically your structure. I don't know what you call that, but that's a thing you see in tons of movies. And I got to admit, I'm kind of a big fat sucker for it. I don't know what it is,
so
but
you
it drives
like,
me.
You like Babe then, because that's the movie I immediately thought about. I'm like,
Babe,
what's
the pig
a competition movie?
Movie
this kind of, yeah, that there's... British based, yes.
Yeah, well, it's Australian, but yeah, it's
Australian.
Yeah, well, George Miller, a great director of Mad Max Fury Road, the finest film of 2015. No, you're not wrong. I'm drawn to that. I don't know what it is, and I wanted to ask Ibbot this actually, because you're like Lord Trivia Man. Every Nerdtacular, you run this very cohesive, rad sort of competition between all these Frog Pants people. Like, there's something to this idea that we're all working toward the final round, you know?
It's because the trope is that the underdog has to surge forward and beat the person, the snotty front runner, the person that everybody thinks is going to win. Pitch Perfect 2 does this. I'm trying to find some other ones here, some other good
examples.
There's
a bunch
of
dance competition movies like Strictly
Ballroom.
Oh,
Strictly Ballroom.
Or even Dirty Dancing, if you think about it, they're ultimately going to be in a
or Step It Up 2 or right? Step It Up 3.
every ski movie from the 80s.
Jamaican bobsled team movie. It's basically
what's the name of that one? Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember Hot? Remember Hot Dog? Remember that? That was a thing.
Right. Anyway. So that's basically what this is. It's that good feeling that you get after leaving a movie, watching this, thinking, all right, the underdog came through and they won. And I think that's kind of what makes us enjoy movies like this so much.
Right,
Blades
but
of
I'm
Glory,
telling
there's
you,
another one.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you watch Best in Show with someone who really knows show dogs, they're just going to be like, oh my God.
Why are you watching movies with people who do show dogs, Randy? I'm judging you a little bit.
Okay. Okay. This we're talking hypothetically. I'm asking, and I'm pretty sure that the answer is yes. But I'm asking, don't you think in this movie the hairdressing is probably not actually world class?
Not
well. Okay. I mean, you can tell that just from looking at it. But let's say that we were watching a movie about a podcasting competition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we hate it.
Would we, I mean, I guess they really couldn't make one of those without me kind of being in the leading role, getting up on stage with a silly hat every 5 minutes, but
yeah.
Dramatic recreation,
but
would we pick it apart? Like, oh, that's not what podcasting is like.
We do it with
I've
tech.
Told this,
it's like the net. Yeah. It's like the net or what did we hated the net. Why? Because we know that stuff and that was all bullshit. Well, my mom liked the net. Why? Because she doesn't know any of it.
I've told this story many times. I really liked the movie Pushing 10, and my brother has been an air traffic controller for decades. And right. he went and saw it and was appalled that I liked it. Mm-hmm. Everything about it was so wrong. Mm-hmm. And it made me sad because he couldn't get past all of the inaccuracies, you know, because they were inaccuracies about his profession.
Well, it's because right. correct things are boring sometimes. Like, not always. Yeah. Like, you can get away. Like, the tech thing was handled very well, I think, even with some flourishes, but done really well. We've talked about it before, but with Sneakers, that's a fantastic movie about hacking and real computer stuff where they didn't try to make it all seem goofy and one click, you know, erases the government's databases and things like that. So it can be done. I just think it takes a deft hand, and most of the time, I don't think they want to worry about it. Like, if you want to have them be all freaked out about the dinosaurs getting loose, you better just have a girl who says it's a Unix system and looks at some dumb screen full of nothing.
Right.
Like, it's just,
exactly. Yeah. Reality is boring. You need to dress it up in fiction and kind of make it not just dumb it down for the masses, but make it interesting for the masses.
Sure.
I mean, again, somebody watching a movie about podcasting would think that what we do is really, really boring. But then if they, you know, put us in some big lavish studio and with lights and a big on-air sign and, you know, everything.
So like podcast that. Empire is what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm into that show. That's a show I'd watch. Listen,
podcast here, Empire Records.
That's a great idea. So to answer, so Randy's right. And there's a few examples of it that really stuck out to me. You know what? Before I tell you what it is, though, let me give you a little teaser there. I'm going to play this.
Blow dry. A once great hairstylist reduced to running a barbershop in the desolate English burb decided to take a shot at the National Hairdressing Championships.
All right. At this championship, they're doing a bunch of hairstyles, including Alan Rickman's out there doing it, going, "Someone bring me the curlinators."
Fetch me those scissors.
I was hoping you'd break that out, dude. So anyway, he's doing that, and he's making the ultimate hairdo on what's her name and on Juliet Lewis lookalike,
Rachel Griffin.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. And while he's doing that, you can tell he's going completely bonkers with it, and he's cutting off stuff and showing a tattoo and doing all this stuff. And I thought, all right, they don't want to blow it all at once, and the rest of the place needs to act like they haven't seen it yet. But how could they not have seen what he was doing?
Because
not only did her
right out in front of
her. Yeah, not only did she end up with like a trash can on her head, but also she's naked with blue paint on her, which means
I'd wondered about that part of it.
What judged competition in the history of competitions has ever waited until the last second for the judges to decide their scores? Ever.
Right,
the judges have scored this thing ages ago, and now we're just revealing the scores.
Yeah.
Well, we had to wait for her to go
three.
In the back.
I can't find my three.
She had to go in the back room, rub all the blue paint all over her body, and fix the wings that seemingly, you know, Alan Rickman thought to bring.
Yeah. when he showed up with nothing, remember?
The perfect opportunity for me to use these wings.
Yeah.
The way I thought of it in my mind, Scott, was I thought, well, they said that they had 40 minutes or whatever to do the actual hair part.
Yeah.
And then the total look was done backstage. So there's like a gap or a skip there that we didn't see. And that was supposed to be the impressive reveal. Yeah. By the way, I thought all the hair was crap.
No, it was garbage. One that looked like gum or whatever that Bill Nye did, the Egyptian one. That was terrible.
There were a couple of things. Rachel Griffith's hair outside of competition was really good. Mm-hmm. And I was impressed with Natasha Richardson's wig. Mm-hmm. And I know that was kind of the point of that subplot. You were supposed to be impressed with her wig. It was a really good look. Like, when she pulled it off, I gasped. I did not believe that her hair was coming off of her head.
Yeah, that was interesting. But like, just the, all right. You guys remember the it's like fruit roll ups, but it's like fruit by the foot that you get for your kids. Or
I remember those too.
But they were they had the multi striped one that was almost like just candy. You know what the kind I'm talking about?
Yeah,
that's what the Egyptian hair looked like, and I couldn't get it out of my head. Oh my god!
Like
gosh.
Fudge stripe, or not fudge stripe, but fruit stripe bubblegum.
Like the zebra mascot, right?
Yes.
Yep. Oh my gosh, dude! I haven't thought of that stuff in 20 years.
I guess once again we come back to what makes something interesting versus what is reality. Reality would be the hairs would probably be pretty boring if they look fantastic, whereas we kind of go over the top. You know, kind of like the Hunger Games when the dress is on fire and it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And that's probably a huge benefit to the to the audience that if there is a segment of the audience that's watching this because they're hairstylists, like, oh, they're making a movie, you know, kind of lampooning what we do, you either try to be very true to it, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, and it turns out very boring, or you just go the other direction, go over the top when no one can say, well, that's, you know, they'd never allow that in competition. When it's that goofy, you don't even have to worry about saying that. You'll have to say, well, that's not very realistic. It's like, okay, yeah, she's wearing a garden trellis on her head. Yeah, that's
man, we need the Blu-ray commentary on this movie. Something horrible.
we decided to go with a metal wire frame that we had stapled onto her head.
I'm talking about that commentary when they get other people entirely, like they've got like Tim Gunn narrating while you're watching this movie. Right.
That'd be all right.
Hello, designers.
You know, I will say that I don't know what set part of England is supposed to be. I assume northern, sort of
Yorkshire.
They said during the movie.
I love that accent. That particular regional accent is one of my favorite English accents, and I could listen to these people talk and pontificate all frickin' day long.
Yeah,
I just love it.
You know, I'm gonna say that I'm okay with Josh Hartnett. I would
it
just
was
on
fine.
the blush, it was like, no, I don't want to see Josh Hartnett do this, but it wasn't. It was
now
horrible.
That you've heard mine, you're really okay with
right,
Josh Hartnett.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Actually, I think yours was all right, to be honest. I think you got a lot of British blood though. So
yeah, you're extended. They do really have a great Uncle Reg.
Do you really?
In Derbyshire.
Oh my gosh, for real? I thought that was just a dream. You really have that guy in your life.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's fantastic.
When he passed away.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
That's
when he passed, do they carry him on their shoulders in those tiny, tiny coffins? Because the Americans, we had these big giant coffins with handles and we had to carry it by the handle and stuff. Is it?
Oh my gosh. Way to pick that out. I had completely forgotten and it didn't occur to me at the time, but that is weird, isn't it? A little bit to carry it on your shoulders like that? Isn't it?
Yeah, I'm like, that's totally dangerous. That's a good way to drop somebody.
Yeah. Nobody wants that. You're going to drop Sid Vicious.
Oh, interesting tidbit. One thing that does happen that I'm not sure. I know my mom has done this, but I'm not sure if it's across culture or whatnot. But a barber who takes care of your hair when you're living will often take care of your hair when you die. So my mom would often go in when one of her elderly clients had passed away and fixed their hair the way they'd always done it.
Really?
So I'm not sure if that's cross-cultural or if it's even regional or whatever, but that is something that we do here in the South.
Did you notice go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, you'd want your last viewing to look like you've always looked. So
that's exactly what you're going for. You're like, you're trying to make someone look like they're just asleep. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did y'all see the cameo from Aunt May there? Spider-Man
yes.
Aunt May.
Yeah. With a goofy, wonky eye that freaked me the heck out.
Yeah,
that
was really
good
weird.
Stuff, wasn't it?
It was really weird. But she, she's British.
Eat your wheat cakes, Peter.
I didn't know she was British. So there's a swapperoo, right? See, that's the thing. Yeah. Whenever they put a British person in an American role, I don't even think about it. But when it goes the other way, it's so stark. I don't know why. Why is that?
And the weirdest part of it is that we tend to notice an American actor doing a bad accent in another language more than we notice an Australian actor doing a bad American accent.
Right. We watch House for 10 years, and then one day we hear Hugh, what's his name? Actually
Hugh
speak.
Laurie.
Yeah.
Hugh Laurie.
Yeah.
This happens every week on Talking Dead, right after Walking Dead. They'll have, you know, actors from that episode or from the series come on and sit on the couch. Exactly. And it'll be like, oh, that guy's British? He looked like just this, you know, Alabama yokel, you know, sitting there in the show.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That Justified guy being Australian is so weird because he is so just, get out of my meth house, you son of a bitch. Like, it's just so perfect. Now, I wonder, though.
Which Justified guy?
The Justified guy that's like, I can't think of his name with all the tattoos. He was kind of a skinhead, but an idiot. Yeah. What was his name?
Oh, my God. You mean, the really squirrely one?
Yeah, the squirrely one that was always kind of comic relief.
They're all squirrely on that show.
Yeah, that's true.
Not
the one who was in Lost.
No, not Faraday, not
but
him.
But his brother.
His they weren't
cousin
brothers,
or
cousins or something. Dooley or cousin?
Oh, yeah, Dooley.
Dooley, that's it, Dooley.
Dewey Crow.
Dewey Crow is
Dewey Crow's Australian?
He's an Australian guy, and if you hear him talk, it will weird you out, man. You'll hear him in an interview, and you're like, what the hell is that? What are you doing over there? Like, it's that freaky. So here's my thinking. Here's my theory. if we didn't know who Josh Hartnett is now, if this was just a kid with a one-off role and we never saw him again, I don't think we'd even question it. I think it would just be, right. Oh, he was the guy in that movie. Like, we wouldn't even know any more than like...
Yeah, I honestly, when this started up, I looked it up to see, is he... He's not British, is he? That was the first thing I did. Nope, born in like Minnesota or something.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And then I looked up, what's her name? Rachel Leigh Cook. Mm-hmm. And she at some point in the movie, I guess Ray tells Christina, the characters, that she isn't in Minneapolis anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she's from there. Like the actual actress is from Minneapolis.
Rachel Leigh Cook is from
Right. So yeah. for whatever reason, they decided to explain her accent by putting the character in America. Like she's been living in America with her mother.
Yeah.
And that's the whole explanation. I'm like, you should have done that for Josh Hartnett.
I thought about that the same way. Like he had maybe moved away with his grandpa or something for a while. And I was like, wow, all that writing for that. Nah, just pretend. Let's all just pretend.
but you know what I mean, though, if we didn't have the backstory we have on him or didn't have IMDb in this world and all we had in a vacuum was this movie, we would just assume he's another cast member in a British film. We wouldn't even think about it.
I did not fall for his accent.
You didn't believe for one second that he was British.
But I don't No, Mr. Hartnett. I'm not biased.
I'm just saying. I didn't believe he was specifically from Yorkshire.
Sure.
I agree with you, and that may have jumped out at you, but I'm saying it's hard to separate that we already know who Josh Hartnett is, and we have that weird culture.
We start calling Randy Sherlock of FilmSack because that's the kind of thing that Sherlock can do.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Pick out those accents.
So I've got a related issue.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that is when your movie is set in England, you make things more real. And when it's set in America, you come up with a fake town name if you name the town at all, and so on.
That's true.
This movie was set in a town called Keighley. Two interesting facts about Keighley: it was chartered in 1305. That should blow your mind if you're an American.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And also, Keighley was the very first place in Great Britain to get a Carnegie Library, which opened in 1904.
Wow.
Was bought and paid for by Andrew Carnegie. So Keighley is this real place. And I was thinking, man, I can hardly name a movie where it's this sort of same thing. It's thoughtful, but it's supposed to be funny. Like Footloose came to mind. Where they just put it in a town in America that everybody knows. And
they never do that. No, you're right. It's either, now if it's big cities, they'll always say New York, San Francisco, Seattle.
Right, and then show you a picture of Vancouver.
Yeah, exactly. They'll show the wrong city, but they'll use the name. But small towns, it's always like Bonkerville, Kansas, or some shit name that doesn't mean it. They're the DC. You know what? American filmmaking is the DC of comic books. Think about that for a second, because it's like Smallville and Metropolis and Gotham and all these bullshit names. And Marvel's like, nope, they're real. He's in Miami. He's in New York. He's in whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. That's interesting. Right. I hadn't thought about that. Yes.
I hadn't thought about that. It is really interesting. The other thing I noticed about British movies and movies abroad in general, very rarely do you see any type of sheep herding in American movies, but it always seems like somebody's a sheep herder in a British movie.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I had, when I lived in Round Rock, Texas, I drove to work right through a sheep farm every day coming and going, I would pass by all the sheeps and think, this just is weird. Sheep don't belong in America.
In Texas. It's too darn hot.
That's right. I said y'all because you said Texas. It literally just came out because of that. Did you guys count Harry Potter actors? I tried to do it. So we got Filch.
I did exactly the same thing. How many did you get? I only got four. I'm not a very good.
So you got Filch from, he's the dude. He was the sheep farmer. He's also in Game of Thrones. That other show that's on FX, I can't think of right now. The infection one. Anyway, he's great in that, by the way. He's the only good thing in it, to be honest. So here's him. You got your Alan Rickman there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Now my brain.
David Bradley, who was that?
Bill Nighy.
Oh, Bill Nighy. Right. Wait, was he in Harry Potter?
Absolutely.
What did he play?
He was one of the Ministry of Magic people. I forget which one.
Oh, right. In the last couple of movies.
Oh, you know what? Good on them, because it would have been a crime not to have him in a Harry Potter movie for real.
Exactly.
Like that guy. Oh, we haven't even talked about him. Let's talk about him for just a second. He's freaking great in this. He's great in everything, but he's really great in this.
And he's always got that kind of swagger that makes you think that he's perpetually drunk. I mean, I haven't seen the
true story,
the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel or whatever it's called, but everything else I've seen him in, it's like, did he just show up to set drunk? Is he?
He's one of those actors that I really believe this makes everything I watch better when he's in it. I think he's really, really interesting to watch. He's fascinating. I think he's the best part of those stupid underworld vampire
pirates.
Movies.
Oh, the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. He's great. And, you know, as Davy Jones in those.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, he saved that second movie from being garbage. He's just great.
Oh. What? I did not realize he was in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie. He was Slarty Bardfast.
Yes, he was. There at the end.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was real good there.
I do need to watch that again.
Him and Martin Freeman flying around on a weird shippy ship thing.
Right.
Shippy ship.
He's great. And I just didn't want it to go past us today how great he is. And he'll be a real loss too when he dies, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I don't want him to go
away. Got a tub space just for you, buddy.
I do. I feel a little bad. I don't know about you guys, but I feel a little bit bad that Blow Dry is not really a Rickman movie. It is, and he's top billed, by the way.
And there are a couple of spots where the film just stops, and you feel like, oh wow, they kind of knew we were going to be watching this after Rickman dies. Like he's framed up, he's really well lit, and he's just looking at another character.
Yeah,
and you get the sense, like this film sets him aside for whatever reasons, beyond all the other characters. This character is what the film's about. Yeah. He just doesn't get a lot of screen time.
Yeah, that's all.
Well,
I'm saying.
The character itself. We're it's a buildup. We're waiting. We've heard all about him. We've heard everything, and it's like he's going to be the superstar at the end. We're just waiting on it to happen.
Well, when he finally comes out and says, "Clay, Bill Clay," that's my favorite.
Bill Clay.
Really oh good. God, you're one of them.
I was a little uncomfortable with that foot tattoo because I can't imagine getting a tattoo on the bottom of my foot.
Do you think that was real? Right? Do you think that was real? Do you think he had
no,
it?
No, way.
But okay.
But even having to have that, Sharpie on your foot, I think I'd have a problem with.
You don't think that was a Harry Potter dark mark on his foot or something like that? Like some kind of
right?
That's how he summons the evil skull in the sky.
I'm a Horcrux, professor.
Dude, you know what? I would pay you $200 if I could just have your impression of Alan Rickman.
Right?
I love that. It's my favorite impression, and I can't do it. I want to learn it. I'm going to learn it. Okay, F it. Listen, we live in a free society. I can learn it. I'm going to learn it.
You can learn it.
What else? Before I get to clips, I think the music was terrible. It was really, really bad. Not the songs.
Over the place.
The songs were fine. I'm talking score. The score.
Oh, yes.
Miserable. Bad.
Yeah. Soundtrack was great. Score was meh.
Yeah, but I do have a question about you, Brian, or about you.
For
you.
Okay. All right.
Sure.
None of the songs were originals. They were all covers. It sounded like to me. Is that
no? There were some originals. I mean, there was a great cover though of Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Originally by Nina Simone and covered by the Animals. Mm-hmm. Brilliantly. Let's see. That was
I knew you'd know this.
Performed by Santa Esmeralda. I had to look that one up. Lovely Day was the original, the Bill Withers. Lovely Day, Lovely Day.
Oh yeah.
Sing some more.
What was the one where he was in his room? Actually, I think I have a clip of it. Let me play this real quick. There was some music.
Get out of my dreams, get into my car.
No, that was great, though.
American music, man.
Oh, this one.
This
one.
Good morning, sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
That's Roger Whittaker.
I love that. Yep. Oh, my gosh, I love that. I don't know why that version really rang with me.
Yeah,
I think
that is the original, and the one we're all familiar with is the cover that they used in the movie Hair, coincidentally.
I think that's for a reason. I think this movie borrowed that, right?
I don't know.
Maybe. That's possible, actually, now that you say that. I wonder if Josh... Listen, the only mistake Josh Hartnett made in this film was not in the credits having his name listed as Josh Hairnett. That's the only thing he really could have done.
Josh Hairnett.
To improve himself.
Wow, I feel like you've been sitting on that joke since the middle of your viewing of the movie.
You're not wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that one coming down Main Street, but here it is, finally. Any other thoughts before we soundtrack, or we clip this bitch up?
I don't think so. I just want to say I didn't think the music was that bad. It was 2001. That Bachman Turner Overdrive song really made me happy.
Mm. Yeah,
it was good. I didn't like it. I liked
of the music they used for the hairstyle parts.
It was too on the nose when they talked about cancer
and their relationships and all that. It was just like, holy shit, are you just wringing tears out of your rag here? What are you doing?
Yeah. All the songs to me were too on the nose for what was going on.
I agree with you there. Like, I guarantee you the song Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood was playing while someone was being misunderstood.
You reminded all of us earlier that this is written by the same guy who wrote Full Monty, right?
Full Monty! Right.
Full Monty is the same. It's another contest movie. It's the same thing. Underdogs do good by somehow becoming strippers people want to see or whatever.
that's a movie that's on my to-watch list too.
Have you never seen Full Monty?
No. It's the same movie.
It's not the same movie. It is a classic. It is such a good movie.
It's not out of wanting to see it.
Yeah. It's the same story arc though, because it's that idea that the town is resistant to change and these things, and they don't understand them, and then slowly they win the town over until everybody is just cheering. Mm-hmm.
But I've never seen the movie either, and I assume I'm not going to get to see as much male nudity as I want.
More.
Right. You'll see a bunch of butts. Isn't that the deal, Brian? My memory is you just see a lot of man butt. And it's all funny. Yeah.
You see a lot of wrinkly skin.
Because it's old guys and fat guys.
Let me tell you what. Go to the gym. Same experience.
this reminds me. Give me 1 minute before we go to clips, because the reviews and the ink spilled on Deadpool led me to believe that I was going to go see Deadpool, and it was going to be so X-rated. That movie is nowhere near as visually X-rated as people said it was going to be.
Not even close visually.
I might put it on par with the Hangover movies as far as we'll talk about penises, but if you get a glimpse of one, it's going to be just a burnt up, shriveled one.
Right. And I mean, this Deadpool literally has a gag where a woman's boob falls out. And you don't get to see it, and it's very cleverly covered by another person's positioning. Right. And I just came out of this movie going, what are people writing about? Are we seeing a different movie? Is there an international version of Deadpool?
The Inaria sex scene, and then later the stripper club. Yeah, that was pretty explicit. I mean, you got full-blown vagina zone. Shots.
Man, I may have gone to the bathroom during the stripper club.
Yeah. We had full blown vagina zone in this movie too.
I actually had a question about that. This is a thing I've noticed. So, was that who that is?
Heidi Klum.
I didn't know that. Crap.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Speaking of Tim Gunn,
she's very pretty.
Yeah, Heidi Klum and Pubie Klum.
Pubie Klum. Pubie Klum.
And yes, Scott, before you even ask it, that was a wig.
I figured it was.
that was a Merkin.
But here's what I was going to ask about that scene. This is a very British thing to do. That movie is constructed almost entirely as a film that you could show or have to any audience, very general audiences. I'd almost put it in PG territory, like a couple F-bombs, but British F-bombs are different. So that whole thing felt like a sweet, innocent romp through a British quirky town, good time. Right. Except for here's a pink vagina shave. it's very British to do that.
Well, I was thinking about that during the movie too. That the British and Australians do this too. They have much more silly nudity in their films than we do in America. Our nudity is like, oh, here's a couple making out in a hotel room. No, she's taking off her top.
Why we like Something About Mary so much? Is that
maybe? I don't know.
It could be that would fall under silly nudity, I think, even though it's, big prosthetic leather vest or something.
Sure.
But, Full Monty is a good example, even though I haven't seen it. I kind of know. You know what to expect from it.
Sure. Even the porn scenes in Love Actually.
Muriel's Wedding.
That's a good one.
Griffith's movie has some silly nudity in it.
But like the Martin Freeman stuff in Love Actually is very that way.
Yes, like, great example of that. Right. We're going to show you nudity, but it's in the context of this comedy, these couple who are the stand-ins for the actual porn couple.
And, yeah.
And
give me a trope alert, because I want to talk about the opposite of that.
All right.
Serious nudity?
I'm gonna. Go ahead. Give us your Benny Hill take or whatever you got going.
Well, the opposite of that is what I feel like this movie tries and kind of misses with, and that is, you have a lighthearted romp through hairdressing, and then you stir in this cancer thing, and it reminded me, for some strange reason, it reminded me of the movie Major League. Major League is funny, and it's funny from beginning to end, except this one spot where Tom Berenger goes to visit his ex-girlfriend and finds that she's moved out of her loft, and he's standing in this empty room, and it's really sad. And I'm like, what is this doing in my movie?
Yeah.
And I felt
my
like
drama in my comedy. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, but like, you can't call a blow dry dramedy, right? It's not.
No.
Right. Well, dramedy means something else, right?
I don't know. Actually, now I don't know how to define it, because what you're talking about is a thing that I decry in comedies on TV. Like, give me Seinfeld any day, because they never took anything serious. And don't give me...
There was very special episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah, or of Blossom, where she learns her friend has AIDS.
But like, you know, when you get to the end of an episode of Modern Family and someone's doing a voiceover and you're seeing people getting along and so forth, and there's like a moral to the story and it's pointed, you're still seeing funny stuff happening. You're not seeing someone dying of cancer and lying about it, you know?
Well, right.
They kind of soften that blow by blurring the line of death and life and just being a part of it in this movie. They kind of soften the blow a little bit. I'm with you though, but I feel like the chick in the bucket is cancer, because it's like, yeah, we ended, but you know,
she's got terminal. Got terminal cancer, but aren't we all jolly and happy at the end of this thing? Like,
right,
like that. Yeah, that left me a little weird. Somebody on Twitter said, you know, that movie's great until you start to pick it apart, and I thought, oh, what are you talking about? But you know, he's kind of right. There's a bunch of, and it's not that I disliked it or anything, but there's a lot of things in the movie. If you start to think too hard, you go, oh, yeah, that's a fantasy, or that's a thing you would never see, or she's not blue naked and sparkly suddenly out of nowhere, or like there's lots of that.
Chekhov's hair color is in this movie. That's a trope.
When's that coming? I thought we got the payoff with the sheep. Was that not the payoff?
No, Chekhov's hair color is when there's this model who leaves her highlights in too long.
She was yellow. She's the one.
Then later on, she ends up being the
Green Egyptian. Works for her because it's the fruit stripe.
Hold on, chick in the bucket. Now I got a question, because Brian brought it up. The sheep and the color, like, is that the end of the color problem? Was that it?
Was it? Was done. She's done. She's perfected it.
But I thought the point was, what was the point of her not being good at doing color? And how was she cheating that day? I don't get it. Like, that whole thing didn't make any sense to me.
It was the big rift between her and her father was that she couldn't color and she had lost faith in herself. And so this was just a way of redeeming her herself.
Okay.
And when are villains ever going to learn that when they're good enough, they're going to win? You don't have to stop and cheat. Yeah. You're going to win.
Yeah.
Cheating, stopping to cheat always
wrecks
the villain.
Didn't you watch Wacky Racers?
No, but that's coming back. I'm looking forward to it. They're making comic books.
Wacky Racing is the perfect example of this trope.
Yeah. You're right.
Dick Dastardly, for some reason, he always has the upper hand and then gives it up.
Dude, it's I would watch me some Wacky Racers right freaking now. I love that cartoon.
That was so good.
So bad. So good, so bad. I was going to say one last thing before we get to clips, and that is that, because it's the elephant in the room as far as I'm concerned. The second in charge, I assume his gay partner, whatever, Bill Nye's helper man, Lewis, or whatever his name was. That is Hugh Bonneville, the Lord of the Manor in Downton Abbey. That is a freaky thing to see when he looks like Guy Fieri all up in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Little
frosted tips and stuff.
Really weird.
By the way, frosted tips and mullet, that's a bad combination.
My wife didn't believe me. I showed her this picture. I'm like, look, honey, this is Hugh Bonneville. She's like, no, it's not. I'm like, yep, it totally is.
I've seen Hugh Bonneville like 10 times in the last 3 years. He's in Downton Abbey. He was just in Gallivant. You see him in... Monuments Men a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He's a great actor. He's good in this. This isn't me saying it's a weird. It's just weird to see him cast in this way, and because I've never seen anything else. And obviously, you know, he was 15 years younger, and you know that makes a difference. And all
wearing
that,
a cow for a jacket.
That was great. Right. Oh, that cow jacket was great. That guy was great. I think he added to the film for me. All right, let's get to some clips.
Yes.
Got a few here. And they begin with this one, which I don't remember what it is. So here it is. Oh, no, I know what it is. This is Hartnett sounding British. So here you go.
You'll be sorry.
Tony, can anyone enter?
No. Professionals only.
I am a professional.
I just got a bald haircut for no reason.
Still can't go to this Gaelic.
Yeah.
I love how you try, how you gave it a Gaelic little.
Yeah, it's a little Irish. I don't know why. Now they're going to take you.
To me, his accent was a little more Irish. At first, I actually thought that's what they were going for.
I've got a very special set of skills, he says.
Northern.
Leave me Lucky Charms alone.
Northern English should sound a tiny bit Scottish, but not that much.
Brian, they never say leave me Lucky Charms alone. I don't think that's the line.
it's a whole different island.
Get off my Lucky Charms.
Who took a shite in my Lucky Charms? All right, here's...
These aren't marshmallows.
Here's
it, Scott. You just need to claim you're doing an Irish Alan Rickman.
Yeah, I'm into it.
That's what you need to do.
Perfect.
Bring me those detonators. All right, here's... Here's a little Alan Rickman for you there.
Short back and sides, and you're out on your ass.
Short back and sides. He's great, dude. Oh, I miss him. I miss him already. Yeah. What a real poop sticker that is, man. Also, here's a
69.
Here's a great line.
The Pope on a pogo stick.
There you go. There's that.
Yeah, got that one.
Here's another one.
But that was back when we didn't like the Pope.
Sorry, say it again. What?
But that's back when we didn't like the Pope.
Yeah.
2001.
Was it? I'm trying to think. Where were we on the Pope in 2001? Was that John Paul still? Who was that?
No, he just died.
Okay, so this was the German by then. Yeah. Jawohl.
Oh, Benedict.
We are changing how we do things around here. Clean up the room. Like he was a real dick, right? But then the new guy.
Wow, I'm way off. John Paul died in 2005. I was associating it with a vacation I was on. I must have gone to the same place.
So still had an Italian then in, is what we had there.
Yeah, okay. We still had John Paul.
You're Italian, Scott.
It's
Italian Pope.
It's the Pope. Kissing my rings. I'm the Pope. There you go. What's this? I don't know.
So not to beat about the bush. You've had it, I'm afraid.
Oh, I like her accent.
Not to beat about the bright pink bush.
Bush. Mm-hmm. Bush.
That's Brian Ibbett.
Bush.
Oh,
you were just waiting for that one, too.
I kind of was, to be honest. All right, here's Bill Nye doing what Bill Nye does.
I want Christina here with me. Get a bit of a buzz going. Would you kindly check us in, please, Louis?
Get a bit of a buzz going. I don't know what this means, but I liked it. And this is Hugh Bonneville.
Pleasure, treasure.
Pleasure, treasure.
Pleasure, treasure.
You don't hear him saying that on the Abbey, do you? He never says pleasure, treasure.
Pleasure, treasure.
Let's see. Oh, he said, because he asked him to go get the room, and he said pleasure, treasure, and then walked off.
Oh,
gotcha. Be my pleasure,
treasure.
Lover.
Yeah, lover, yeah. Lover man.
Lover man.
Here's Hugh Bonneville being young.
I don't care about the bloody book, sweetie. I just want our rooms. Okay.
Oh my gosh, it's so weird to me. Here's Filch.
Well, come in if you come in. Plenty of room. Just acquired an extra bedroom.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I want him to narrate
clean my room.
I want him to do my eulogy, except he'll die before me. But
and his jacket sleeves will be way too long. They always are.
I'm always going to say this, though, when someone's standing outside a door staring at me, this is what I'll say.
Come in if you're coming.
Come in if you're coming.
Come in if you're coming.
Love that. What's this? Only hair in it. What?
It's only hair, isn't it?
Oh, in it.
It's only hair, isn't it?
That guy doesn't wash his hair, but every 4 days, he said. It's gross.
Right?
Gross.
3 days, and he's got a tip on the bottom of his back or so. Weird.
It's really weird.
He's another Game of Thronesy.
Yeah, he is.
Is he? I didn't
Edison,
know.
But he looks so much bigger in Game of
Edison
Thrones.
Edison Tollett.
He looks so small here.
Oh, yeah, that's totally that guy? Does. Oh, my gosh, it is. For a minute, he looked like the guy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Go. Outside.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that guy.
Totally does. Right. All right. These two love them together. Here they are.
One of the nastiest double crowns I've ever had the misfortune to tackle.
How the mighty have fallen.
I love their little, like, fight.
You want to imagine that those two did a lot of hanging out together, grabbing a pint at the pub, the local pub between the acting gigs.
Have to hope that they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you might be misled. This is a trope that drives me crazy. You might be misled if you look at some of the marketing for this film, because it shows Josh Hartnett and Rachel Lee Cook all over the place. Like they're a movie about them becoming a couple.
Yeah, no,
well, that's what I was surprised when we picked this one. It, you know, when you look at the cover in Netflix, it's the two of them with a, you know, he's holding a hair dryer. It's like, this is an Alan Rickman film. This does not look like an Alan Rickman film.
Yeah.
Right. Which cover did you see? Because there's like three different covers. There's a modern one with a lady with the hair everywhere. It looks very modern. Then there's a Josh Hartnett, Jason Lee Cook thing. And then I guess there's
Jason Lee Cook.
Whatever her name is. Jason Cook Lee. Jenna, whatever her name is.
Yeah. Jenna Jason Cook. That's it.
Right.
That's the one I'd seen with the yellow background.
That is so early.
Draped over his shoulders.
How late 90s, early aughts is that?
Totally.
It's everyone did that. It was like everything looked like, I don't know, what Clueless or freaking.
Failure to, yeah, right. Failure to launch or How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's so funny how this stuff forms well after. It takes about 10 years for you to notice it. And then you're like, holy shit, we were doing that a lot. Like, we're going to do this in 10 years when we look back and see that every action movie poster was a combination of orange and blue. They're all going to be orange and blue.
Giant, you know, silhouette of the head of the main actor looking to the side with, like, all the action kind of going on in their face.
Yeah,
I was done once I saw the Cowboys versus Aliens poster. I think that's when I was like, okay, we've done this enough.
Yeah, enough, folks. We've had our fun. Time to move on.
Right.
Here's Ibbitt's old girlfriend from high school called in about prom night in 87, specifically your 87 prom.
I was hoping the fact that Josh Hartnett's character was Brian, I was hoping that there'd be something with me in here. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't even use your name, I don't think, but she describes the night with you. So these are the words describing prom night with Brian Ibbitt. So here you go.
Oh, boy.
Chemotherapy, radiotherapy, holistic massage, bollocky potions from China, monkey's piss, you name it.
Yeah, that was the night.
Monkey's piss.
It was a rough night.
She was kind of going down the list of,
Yeah, you know, all the stuff.
Where'd you get monkey piss from?
To happen.
You have to milk
monkey,
it.
Duh. Yeah.
You have to milk. Here, monkey, drink this.
You have to milk
it. Drink another.
No, you milk it from the monkeys, how you get it.
Oh, my God. There you go. That's not piss.
Never milk urine.
Here's the thing.
What the hell happened to you?
I like that. I'm going to play this all the time.
What the hell happened to you?
You could ask that every morning when I get up.
Yeah.
My hair is weird. Speaking of hair. All right. Here is the most uncomfortable line in the movie, I think.
Oh, my God.
You can't do
why?
That. Could you do that in 2001?
No.
It's also just so bad. Like, first of all, you're a Japanese geisha girl, and you're doing, like, some Chinese thing. It was bad.
Right. It was really bad.
Yeah,
this is the full rook.
Why?
It grossed me out.
I thought was well.
Rachel Griffiths, you're never going to work in China or Japan again.
Yep.
Either one.
Yep. Americans could say this more.
Got summit to say, have you?
Summit. I want to start saying summit instead of something. You got summit to say.
Got summit to say, have you?
I love that. Ugh. That is so sexy hot to hear that. I don't know why.
Wow.
I don't know what it is. A Cockney lady talking vaccine. Oh, man. It does something to me. all right.
I learned about Scott today.
This is a good line. And this is, I bleeped it, so you might guess what this is. Here you go.
6 months on a hairdo.
6 months on an effing hairdo. There you go.
I know, and I was really waiting for the payoff for that 6 month hairdo thing that was going to finally reveal at the end. And I was like, he did was stick the hair up a couple of tubes.
Yeah, they left you hanging. You know,
most of it wasn't even hair.
Yeah, they left
you. Yeah, most of all those big reveals, what do they call it? Final look? Full look?
Yeah, right. Full look.
Big reveals, the real like remarkable things about them were the costuming and the makeup.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
Totally agree.
Like, this could have been an eyeshadow competition.
Mm-hmm.
Body paint competition.
Body paint. Yeah. I love body paint. Oh, look at this. Looks like the film sack checklist is fresh and out of the oven. Racist geisha girl costume, check. American guy playing a British guy, check. And Downton Abbey actor looking like he's never been in Downton Abbey, check. Star Trek stuff. Here's what Daryl said in the most Daryl way possible. Okay, this is Daryl the Trek nerd sent this in for connections. The email is literally with a smile, with a frowny face at the end of it. There is a hairstylist named Susan Howard that worked on Blow Dry. There is an actress named Susan Howard that played the first female Klingon in Star Trek. Unfortunately, there are two different Susan Howards. Frowny face. That is so emoji. Funny.
So connection only by name.
Oh, Daryl.
Oh, poo.
Yeah,
Daryl.
Poo. All right. Soundtrack great. A big fat T for big fat terrible. I thought it was bad, except for the covers were great. That stuff was fun.
The songs, right? Yeah.
But that.
Only a handful of covers.
Yeah. Still fun, though, right? Like, that mm-hmm. stuff's fun.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it.
I loved hearing Sweets for My Sweet in there. I have that on an album of horrible music from the UK called Cheggers Choice.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's a whole bunch of really crappy pop, AM pop, British and Australian songs on there, and it's hilarious.
I got a bad case of Cheggers last time I went to Mississippi and walked around in the high grass. Yeah, it was bad. Let's sum this thing up in 140 characters or less, and we do it every week. This is a little grand tradition, and we start with Randy.
Hey, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Blow dry.
That's like 20 characters.
Okay, sorry. Blow dry. Hey, you got your cancer in my comedy. Hey! You got your farce in my end of life subplot. Which is pretty good.
Gross. Brian Dunaway.
Blow dry like mustache glitter.
Yeah. Get it off. Oh my God, get it off.
Man, I
so
miss
much
Rickman.
Glitter in this movie.
Who had, wait.
Oh man.
Who had mustache glitter? I missed that.
Oh, the
guys with Heidi Klum.
Right. What are their names? The Style Warriors, who were some of my favorites. The Style Warriors had that mustache glitter.
I keep forgetting those guys were... I keep forgetting their whole sub thing except for the pink vagina thing. That's the only thing I remember right. about them. And I kind of liked him. Like the squirrely one that got left right. and the brother took off.
Actually, you're thinking about mullets. I'm talking about the other guys.
Oh, the African-American guys.
Right.
With the they weren't American. The African guys. They were actually African right. with African accents. And they had the striped gold hair. Yeah, you're right. They were right. total gold mustachers. You're not wrong.
Total gold mustachers. I don't know what that means, but I like it.
It's a gang you didn't hear much about from the that movie we watched with the Come Out and Play. Yay.
Come Out and Play Warriors?
The Warriors, that's it. Yeah. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
All right, Blow Dry. There are some other alternate titles for this film. I know we're going to get to yours, Scott, but yeah. Here are the ones that they didn't use. Hair, actually.
Okay.
Best in shoulder length.
Okay.
The man who went up a mountain and came down a hairdresser.
Okay.
And finally, not so Harry Potter.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Hold
like
on, I'm still trying to log into Twit longer. Hold on.
You're gonna ruin. Yeah. You're gonna ruin my my alternate titles aren't gonna be nearly as good because one of them you did better than me. But my alternate titles are either Best in Show Hair Edition, beep, brr, or. There's hair in my grilled cheese. That one's all right. I can do that. That's all I thought about during this movie is there's probably hair freaking everywhere. Like
everywhere.
The whole
that,
movie.
That room.
Yeah, just constantly.
I can't imagine. Yeah, but glitter on your face, that's the word. Brian Dunaway has it right.
Yeah, it's gross. Yeah.
Glitter on your face is just.
Nothing I like more than an email on my face, though. Bob wrote in. That sounds wrong.
Going to do some Foley work with that one with the email on your face?
Yep. There you go. It's Bob who wrote in. Says his name is Bob. Says he usually listens to you guys at 1.5x speed on Pocket Cast to get through a ton of podcasts. Huh. So he listens to us a little faster. By the way, I don't know how people do this. It drives me crazy. He says,
then I'm going to talk slower and mess with you.
Yeah, you could totally mess with him. However, while watching / listening to the Battlestar Galactica sack, I realized it was getting out of sync very quickly. Well, yeah, because you're running it at 1.5 speed. Anyway, so I adjusted the voice speed on the podcast to 0.7. Just make it zero where it's supposed to be. Anyway.
Right. And it still didn't match up.
Yeah,
and
it still didn't work.
And then I tried 2.3 and that didn't match up. And then I tried -1 and it really didn't match up.
It didn't work at all. So then he says, when I did this, you guys sound stoned, especially Scott. Thanks for the laugh, Scooby Dad in the pool sometimes. Bob.
I've actually had this long-standing plan to prank listeners on a podcast where with every successive episode, you post-process it and slow it down a tiny bit more and a tiny bit more.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Like, you know, you're like at 98 speed and then you're at 95 speed and so on. And from one week to the next, maybe they don't exactly notice, but eventually they start writing in asking what's going on.
Dude, that is a great idea. I wish you could target a specific person though, you know, not make everyone
do it. I did that to a coworker of mine where I slowly moved her desk back about an inch at a time towards the wall
bastard.
Until the point where you know, basically where she, you know, had to pull her chair back to get in. And it was like she could barely get her legs in between the chair and her desk.
That is what a great story, dude. I love that you did that. I want to do that to somebody. Maybe I'll just do it to my kids. I'll punk my kids.
There you go.
I like it. Why not? Why not be that kind of dad?
I'm gonna raise the casters up in the toilet slowly.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That so you have to good. Jump up on the toilet.
Something's wrong with me. I think I'm shrinking, doctor. I'm gonna play a phone call too. This one is directed, I think, at Randy. I'm not sure. It's let's play it. Let's see what we got here.
Hey Randy, you said a whole bunch of stuff about Doctor Who, and oh, I'm gonna get a whole lot of backlash for that, but did you stop to think for a second no one's gonna give a damn? Because what you said about Michael Biehn, did you even think before you said that? Were you thinking at all? Do you even feel pity or remorse? I absolutely will not stop until you are sorry.
Not a robot.
The last thing?
Not a real voice, he said at the end.
Okay.
He takes issue with your feelings about Michael Biehn. That's where he's at.
It was like Francis, a.k.a. Boogie, called in.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out that maybe he stopped listening to send that in and then continued the episode, but I really came around on Michael Biehn in that episode.
I think you did. Well, yeah, because we started talking about all the other things he had done, and we talked about Tombstone and everything else. And so, yes, I didn't feel at the end of that you had completely thrown Michael Biehn under the proverbial film bus. But at first,
I ended up looking at the underside of the bus in that one because I genuinely watched Terminator and came away and just started talking about it with you guys without thinking about this actor. I just saw him. And I had my reaction to Terminator. And during the course of the episode, it totally changed. Mm-hmm. And he became my favorite thing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fun.
You looked under the bus and you said, oh, yeah, that is Hicks from Aliens. I'll scrape his bloody, battered body off this bus and clean him up a little, is what you did. Anyway, thank you for that. If you want to send your own phone calls in, it's real easy to do. Use this number, 801-471-0462, or email us, filmsack@gmail.com. Our next movie is finally Armageddon. Armageddon.
Yes. Armageddon. Yeah.
So everybody get your animal crackers. You start shoving them in your girlfriend's belly buttons. We are ready for this freaking thing. I'm so excited to see this. I don't know why.
This can't wait for double shuttles.
Oh, yeah.
This week. Awesome. I am pretty sure I'm going to watch Armageddon for the 45th time this week.
Armageddon? I mean, it's such a guilty pleasure, and it's not that it's a bad movie, but it's not. You know, there's nothing about this that it's real dumb. The premise is kind of dumb, but it's so Michael Bay. It is so over the top. It is so loud. I freaking artificially patriotic. It's so great.
This might be one that I've seen enough times that I'll do that I'll watch the director's commentary instead of watching the actual film.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That is a good idea.
That's a great idea because there's a Criterion version of this. That's right. It's that good.
And I have that.
Ooh. And I was actually asking the question, and I'll ask it again next week, but I want to know, why is there a Criterion version of this? And I want to get to the bottom of that. I think it has something to do with Trevor Rabin's score being that good.
It's really good. Maybe it's because they were trying to one-up Deep Impact yet again. Because it was that year. And this will complete that year for us. Like, I love when we tie up the two knots of the two movies a year that all are about the same thing.
The doppelgangers, yeah.
We got to do, at some point, we need to do Illusionist and Prestige in the same.
Yep. And then we need to do Dante's Peak and The Volcano.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't seen Prestige, Brian?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's so good. It's the only Wolverine versus Batman movie you're ever going to get.
Yeah, I figured I knew it was the better one. And unfortunately, someone had rented the Redbox version of the other first. And so
I don't know if I'd call it the better one. I'd call it different. I mean, I really like them both.
You guys need to promise me we'll do both Illusionist and Prestige because I love the Illusionist.
I do too.
I like them both. It's really good. Love that movie for
Illusionist
weird reasons.
Was the one with David Bowie as Tesla, or was that?
That was Prestige.
No, that's Illusionist.
No. Prestige had David Bowie in it. I'm
100% that's right.
That.
Illusionist is right. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
It's got Incredible Hulk. His name.
Yeah, it's got the Hulk in it.
And David Banner.
Norton.
Yeah. Norton's got the
Ed
Hulk.
Ed Norton.
Listen, that one, the Illusionist has the Hulk. The other movie I'm sorry. The Illusionist has the Hulk and Rhino. Okay. That's
right.
What's his name? And then in the other one, you got Wolverine, Batman, Black Widow,
Alfred.
And Alfred. Like, it's way more superheroed up, that movie.
Sure. And David Illusionist, Bowie. Illusionist is a Paul Giamatti movie, too, and he's amazing.
Yeah, he's the rhino.
This tells me, I think the fact that we're so confused which one was which, that this is probably the perfect one to pick for that comparison.
Yeah, no, I like it. And they came out the same year, and Illusionist got way underrated as a result, I think. It's very good. It's extremely
Illusionist
good.
Also has Bib Fortuna.
Oh.
Oh, no way.
Bib Fortuna. Yeah,
it's funny because when you look at the cast list of The Illusionist on IMDb, you scroll through, oh, yeah, Edward Norton, oh, Paul Giamatti, Jessica Biel, and then you get to Michael Carter, whose IMDb photo is Bib Fortuna.
Awesome.
I wish after seeing Deadpool, it makes me wish all credits would take themselves less seriously and start crediting people as their roles you know
their
them from.
Known time.
Yeah, like Bib Fortuna.
Great.
Freaking The Incredible Hulk.
That dude you know from Justified.
Yeah, the saxophone guy from Lost Boys. Like, I would love that. I'd be so into that. Anyway, great. Armageddon next week, Constantine after that. Very excited about these next two.
Sweet.
Yeah. And then I go on vacation for like a week, which I've never done in my life. Yeah.
Spring break.
First time ever. I've never done this. Me and Kim, Mexico. Don't even know what to expect.
Oh, wow. That's cool. You're going to be so diarrhea.
A real ocean. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the street taco that'll give me a worm and experience. No, we're not doing that. I am going to Cancun. I'm staying in only hotels that are 5-star rated. Only
certified.
You never get sick here. And I'm not going to go anywhere near Juarez, where I'm told you'll lose a head.
Kidnapped.
Or whatever.
Well, at an all-inclusive, you don't ever have to leave the property. In fact, you don't ever have to leave the bar and grill.
I may never leave any of it. So we may do one excursion.
But you may want to go. Yeah, you may want to go into town just to kind of see. We did that when we stayed in. God, where did we go? It might have even been Cancun.
Mm. Yeah, there's supposed to be some underground caves that are really cool.
Maybe Puerto Vallarta. Maybe it was Puerto Vallarta. Oh. But we did go into town one day just to kind of walk through town. We're like, all right, yeah, back to the all-inclusive.
Yep, go back to where I can trust the food.
Margaritas.
Yeah.
The last one I went to was on the island of Cozumel. And after several days at the all-inclusive, we went into town.
Mm-hmm.
And in town, there were all of these soldiers standing around with M16s. We're like, yeah, I'm fine back at the bar. So
back to the embassy, quick.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun.
I watched this past week. I watched that, once again, Redbox Saves the Day.
Yep.
That movie with Owen Wilson, where his family's in that no good area where he has to escape.
Oh.
What is the name of that stupid movie?
Oh, it's a little more serious, that movie.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of something like Dante's Peak, because it was a on the run kind of movie. You got to go. Things are getting worse.
Dante's Peak has a twin movie in Volcano.
Yeah, that
with,
year, same
Tommy
year.
Lee Jones.
Yep. Yes. I love that. I think we should do I like the idea that we put some focus on twin movies. I think that's fun.
So fun.
And Armageddon only took this long because it took him this long to stream the damn thing. So but most of them, I think we can probably grab earlier. So, yeah, Dante's Peak is surely on the menu. Volcano, why the hell not?
Have we not done Volcano?
No.
No. Right.
Tommy Lee Jones?
By the way, speaking of twin movies and streaming, the Wes Anderson movie Moonrise Kingdom is streaming.
Yeah.
And Wes Anderson's movies are all twin movies with themselves.
Totally.
And I highly recommend it.
That's a great movie. Yeah, all his movies are. Listen,
Wes Anderson. It's so weird how they all have the same stuff.
They're all good. He is a national treasure, and we should all watch Fantastic Mr. Fox twice in a row this weekend.
Mm.
What a great movie that is!
It's a good one.
That's gonna do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being here. Filmsack.com is our website. You can find us on Twitter at Filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you may get your podcast. There are various places. Although not nearly as big. But hey, who cares? Whatever it is, leave us a review. It makes things go well for us. So thank you guys so much. We'll be back next week with Armageddon. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
I don't give a shit.
We'll see you next week.
No, I really don't give a shit.
I hit the wrong button. There it is. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I've moved Catwoman.
Yeah.